And you are listening to the Texas Standard. According to the public interest law group Texas Appleseed, one in three Texans has experienced family violence. Domestic abuse is often characterized as physical or emotional, but financial? Well, right now, more attention is turning to how abusers are using debt to hurt, trap, or economically undermine their victims. It's called coerced debt. It's a term coined by Angela Litwin, a UT law professor specializing in bankruptcy and consumer protection. Professor, thanks for joining us.
Thanks so much for having me.
How do you mean coerced? Give me an example of how that coercion takes place.
So there's two types of domestic violence. One is known as situational violence, and it tends to be mutual, and both partners are engaging in it, and the injuries are not very severe. The other is called coercive control. The violence comes from one person. The injuries tend to be very severe. It's frequent. And the abuser's goal is essentially to undermine the victim's free will. So the abuser does that by making demands that the victim does something and then implying that there will be consequences for non-compliance. So for example, somebody that my research partner interviewed, her husband beat her up on a regular basis, and he convinced her to take out student loans that he then appropriated before they went to the school. And she did this because she was afraid of him.
What about joint accounts? Where you have two people who both are on the hook for the debt. One's an abuser, one is a victim, and the abuser walks away from that debt, leaving the victim holding the bag.
Yeah, so that can equally be a problem, right? Especially if the victim's name was put on the joint account via fraud or coercion. When two people are liable for a debt, the creditor has their choice of who to go after. And if the victim is more stable, financially stable, for example, if, as you said, the abuser's walked away, then they're going to go after the victim. Creditors tend to want to collect wherever they're most likely to be able to collect.
But you'd have to do some really structural change to bring about any kind of alteration of that, right? I mean, the laws being what they are.
That would be difficult. I mean, what you'd have to argue is that your name was added to the account without your consent. I mean, again, you could say it was fraudulently added. The abuser added my name to the account without my knowledge. And then you could also say it was added through coercion. The abuser threatened to beat me up or to punch me or to, you know, put a gun to my head if I didn't sign up for the account. So it would be the same forms of argument to get one's name removed from that account.
Why did you feel like it was important to frame this as coerced debt? Why is that significant to you?
I coined the term coerced debt for a few reasons. One is it makes it clear that it's part of these relationships with coercive control, where the abuser is essentially trying to eliminate the victim's autonomy, and that coerced debt is one tactic by which the abuser can do that, because debt can destroy somebody's credit ratings. And then when the survivor goes to leave the relationship, if her credit's been destroyed, it makes it much harder to get housing and jobs, right? Credit reports are no longer used for just loans. More than 60% of employers use credit checks for at least some jobs. Mm-hmm. So I coined it to show that it's part of this system of coercive control that can leave people trapped in abusive relationships.
Because there's defaulting, late payments, those things tank your credit score. And so ultimately, you're taking advantage of a system to take advantage of your partner. Not necessarily. I mean, we're talking really about abusers and victims in this case.
Yes, it could be a one-time partner. It could be, you know, a 30-year marriage. It could be a brief marriage. It could be a dating relationship. It completely varies,
yeah.
It appears. The other reason why I call it that is because it encompasses fraudulent transactions as well. For example, I interviewed somebody who her husband took out credit cards without her knowledge and then also car loans. And he got the car loans in her name by using his sister to impersonate her. And that is traditional fraud. And so she would be eligible for the identity theft remedies. But it took her a while to find out about it. She didn't find out about it until she got a divorce and her attorney ordered her credit report because of the control aspects of the relationship.
Right.
So, of course, debt encompasses both types. And that's another reason to sort of emphasize the role of coercion in both types of debt.
In the cases that you've seen, are victims able to demonstrate or prove somehow that their consent was coerced, that it was not real or authentic from them?
It's difficult, right? Because debt by coercion isn't recognized by the law. The law recognizes debt by fraud is something for which there's remedies, but there's not a specific remedy for debt by coercion. Attorneys who bring these cases have told me that they can try to make the case that debt by coercion is an unauthorized use under the law, because technically it is. But they say that you have to have the perfect facts and a really sympathetic judge to even bother trying to bring it.
I see.
And that's when you have an attorney. Most people don't have attorneys. We'd like to make this broadly accessible to people who maybe have a lay advocate, or it could even maybe sometimes figure it out on their own.
Well, now, right now, there's a bill, as I understand it, in the Texas Senate filed by Senator Zaffarini from Laredo, which is trying to take on some of these issues. Have you had a chance to check it out, and do you see how it might affect victims?
Yes. And yes, the most important thing the bill would do is make debt generated without effective consent eligible for identity theft remedies in Texas. So right now, you can get the identity theft remedies if the contract was signed without consent.
Right.
But by adding effective consent, it means that the consent has to be freely given.
I see.
It can't be as a result of coercion. And so that would allow Texas victims to get obtain police reports and then get access to the Texas identity theft remedies and the federal identity theft remedies, which include things like being able to block the debt from your credit report, which is really important.
Absolutely. We've been speaking with Angela Litwin. She has coined a new term, coerced debt, and she's been talking about it with us. She is a UT law professor who specializes in bankruptcy and consumer protection. Professor Litwin, thank you so much for taking a few minutes out to talk with us on the Texas Standard.
Thank you so much. I'm happy to do it.